La 6966e séance du Conseil.
The 6966th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The agenda is adopted. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representatives of Bosnia and Herzegovina and Croatia to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. Under Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite His Excellency Mr. Valentin Inzko, High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. Under Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite His Excellency Mr. Thomas Meyer Harting, head of the delegation of the European Union to the United Nations, to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. I wish to draw the attention of Council members to document S/2013/263, a letter dated the 3rd of May 2013 from the Secretary General, transmitting the 43rd report of the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina. I now give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Valentin Inzko. You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to begin by thanking the members of the Security Council for your continuing support and attention to Bosnia-Herzegovina. The question of Bosnia-Herzegovina does not, fortunately, have the immediate security dimensions of other issues you are dealing with in this august body. But I'm sure you will agree with me that what happens to Bosnia and Herzegovina matters far beyond its borders. Bosnia and Herzegovina is a country that in so many ways has come to symbolize our shared commitment and quest for an integrated European continent rooted in lasting peace, stability, prosperity, and tolerance. As we strive to achieve this vision, we should, of course, take pride in the progress that has been made in Bosnia and Herzegovina following the tragic wars of the 1990s. But equally, we must recognize that the job is not yet done and our engagement remains essential if we are to safeguard the progress made thus far and build on it to reach our common goal. In the 6 months since my last report, Mr. President, I regret to inform you that Bosnia and Herzegovina's political leaders have continued to fail the citizens of the country and fell short of the very limited expectations of the international community. As a result, the country has fallen further behind its neighbors in the region. Serbia and Kosovo are normalizing relations following a historic deal negotiated by the EU's foreign policy chief, Baroness Ashton, and Serbia appears poised to open accession talks with the European Union. Croatia is now just 7 weeks away from full membership, having served as a shining example to others in the region of what can be achieved if change is delivered through reform. Also, Montenegro's progress is impressive. The region is moving on, and Bosnia-Herzegovina will have, in 7 weeks, 1,000 kilometers of common borders with European Union. The region is moving on. Lamentably, Bosnia-Herzegovina, meanwhile, stagnates. One year after another is let down by its political leaders, who continue to fail to reach the healthy compromises that are necessary to meet the requirements of Euro-Atlantic integration and to tackle the very serious economic and social challenges facing the country. All this, despite the very generous, progressive, and reinforced engagement of the EU on the ground, and I would like to especially mention the tireless efforts of European Union Special Representative Peter Sorensen. The sad reality of Bosnia politics was brought home again in April, when the country's leaders failed to reach agreement to implement a key ruling of the European Court of Human Rights, which would unlock the next stage in the EU integration process. In this regard, I would like to ask the political leaders, what should have been easier to solve? The implementation of the Sejdić-Finci human rights ruling or the historic issue of Serbia and Kosovo? A similar dynamic has played out over the last 2 years with regards to the country's NATO aspirations, where little concrete progress has been reached to register military property in the name of the state, the requirement to unlock the country's entry into the alliance's membership action plan. Both tasks are simple, straightforward, involve little or no material cost, and could be achieved within days with a minimum of political courage and an understanding that reaching healthy compromises through political dialogue is a win-win situation for all involved. And yet, the zero-sum approach to politics continues unabated year after year. Mr. President, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this approach must change. And it must change now if the next 16 months are not to be lost to unproductive election campaigning. Before reviewing the main political developments of the last 6 months from the perspective of my mandate, I want to make it clear in no uncertain terms that the fundamental reason for the country continuing to lag behind its neighbors is the fact that elected officials and political parties continue to put their own narrow, personal, and party political interests before the interests of the citizens and the country at large. The fact that the pull of European and Euro-Atlantic integration process have so far not proven strong enough to overcome this should be of concern to all of us and cause for serious reflection on the elements of our united strategy moving forward. Turning now to the political developments of the last 6 months, it is the deepening political and constitutional crisis in the Federation linked to a new parliamentary majority being formed in this entity that has dominated events. Despite their majority, the new coalition, which has a clear and legitimate right to seek to reshuffle the government, this majority has not been able to remove the existing government, as some parties have used constitutional blocking mechanisms designed actually to protect the rights of constituent peoples to block the adoption of a no-confidence vote. The crisis is further complicated by the fact that the institution responsible for resolving the blockage, the so-called Vital National Interest Panel of the Constitutional Court, does not function due to the 4.5-year-long failure by the competent authorities to appoint missing judges to this panel. As if these developments were not a serious enough distraction from the pressing difficulties facing the authorities in the Federation, the President of the Federation was arrested on the 26th of April and remains in detention. The smooth reshuffle of the Republika Srpska government in March of this year stands in sharp contrast to the situation in the Federation. The ruling coalition in the Republika Srpska elected a new prime minister and replaced a number of ministers, seemingly in response to a worsening economic situation, which included public sector strikes. In contrast with the Federation government, the Republika Srpska government has continued to meet regularly as it seeks to tackle the many economic and social challenges it is facing. However, from the point of view of the mandate given to me under the Dayton Peace Agreement and reflected in successive Security Council resolutions, I remain deeply concerned about fundamental challenges to the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the state of Bosnia and Herzegovina coming from some representatives of Republika Srpska, including Entity President Dodik. 6 months ago, I signaled that the issue of growing advocacy for the dissolution of Bosnia and Herzegovina by RS officials deserves the special attention of the international community. My assessment in this regard has not changed. Statements made and actions taken during the reporting period which are catalogued in my report, have, in my view, represented a continuation of this worrisome policy. Just last month, but again a few days ago, the RS president said that Bosnia and Herzegovina, I'm quoting now, that Bosnia and Herzegovina has absolutely no possibility to survive. And he described Bosnia and Herzegovina as, I'm quoting again, a sufferer of its last breath, into whom the international community is still throwing capsules of oxygen, claiming that it has to survive, unquote. This is just one of many such statements cited in my report, and such statements have continued since this reporting period ended. Also symbolic of the retrograde politics that continues to prevail, statements denying the genocide was committed in Srebrenica have also continued. In sharp contrast, Serbia's President Tomislav Nikolic and Prime Minister Dacic and Vice Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić, expressing the sentiment of the Belgrade authorities, have in recent weeks shown the kind of political leadership that is worthy of the highest praise. When President Nikolic explicitly apologized for Srebrenica and other war crimes committed by individuals in the name of the Serbian state or people, he made indeed a courageous step towards regional reconciliation that, if followed up, could open the way for further improvements in relations between Sarajevo and Belgrade. It is also worth noting that upon the initiative of Turkey, a meeting is taking place today of the presidents of Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Turkey. Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu came personally to Sarajevo last week to prepare this historic meeting. These efforts are extremely important, not only for regional cooperation, but also for regional reconciliation, and of course these efforts have my full support. In general, I also remain concerned about a pattern of disregard for the rule of law that has emerged in the last couple of years, not least in the Federation. For this reason, I reported in a special report to the steering board of the Peace Implementation Council on the rule of law in Bosnia-Herzegovina. The ongoing failure of local institutions to implement the November 2010 BIH Constitutional Court decision on Mostar and Mostar's electoral system is a case in point and represents a violation of the peace agreement, which states that decisions of the court shall be final and binding. As a result, Mostarians have been unable to vote in the 2012 local elections. And the two largest parties in Mostar bear most responsibility for the failure to reach an agreement, and I expect these two parties to start compromising. Perhaps not surprisingly, given the overall climate, the BIH authorities again failed to make concrete progress on the outstanding objectives set by the steering board of the Peace Implementation Council as prerequisites for closure of the OHR. Ladies and gentlemen, not all the news have been bad, and I mentioned some positive aspects coming out of Republika Srpska already. Additionally, the state-level Council of Ministers, which underwent a party reshuffle in November, has met regularly. The state budget for 2013 was adopted on time, the first time in 2 years. In general, however, the state-level coalitions have so far been unable to deliver much-needed progress on the legislative front. Excellencies, a stable security situation is a starting point for everything else, and through their continuing presence, the European Union and NATO military missions in Bosnia-Herzegovina have both continued to reassure citizens that the country remains safe and secure despite the difficult political situation, and at a time when some senior politicians have repeatedly and openly called into question the future of the country. In advance of your deliberations in November, I would like to use this opportunity to express my strong belief that their presence, the presence of EUFOR in Bosnia and Herzegovina, under the existing mandate, is essential to support ongoing international community efforts and also my ability to fulfill my civilian mandate. Mr. President, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Bosnia and Herzegovina's political leaders and the parties they represent are faced with a choice that is increasingly stark with each passing day. There can be no more excuses, and there is no place to hide from their responsibilities. And the choice is simple. They can succeed together, or they can fail together. I know them all. I know that they can do much better, and I call on them from this most distinguished of stages to show the courage to finally reach the healthy compromises that will enable the country to progress. For our part, we must continue to assist those in Bosnia and Herzegovina who want the country to progress, while also standing firm against all those who seek to reopen the wounds of the past. Bosnia and Herzegovina can only go forward, and therefore, if it looks forward and not backwards. I hope accordingly, then, when I report to you in 6 months, that we can look forward to a 2014 full of progress and not a 2014 of a deepening crisis. For Bosnia and Herzegovina, we need continuous attention of the international community, but we need also patience and a long-term approach. New generations are coming and are ready to engage for this wonderful country. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie.
I thank His Excellency, Mr. Insko, for his briefing. I now give the floor to members of the Security Council, and I invite the representative of Morocco to take the floor.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur le Président, je suis particulièrement.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Sir, I am particularly moved at the privilege of speaking first on the item on today's agenda, and this all the more so as I lived a few years in this country, and I saw the suffering of the people of this country. I saw them regain hope and confidence. And immediately after the trauma of war and the destruction it brought in its aftermath, I saw a country full of a promise of tolerance and of hope in life. I should like to thank Mr. Valentin Insko, the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, for his very welcome briefing on this country. The general impression that one has from this report is a political stalemate with the entrenchment of the parties, meaning even further deterioration of the association established under the Dayton Agreements. The Federation continues to suffer from a political and constitutional crisis threatening its cohesion and sovereignty and endangering its territorial integrity and delaying its integration. On policy, the report refers to a power struggle in Bosnia-Herzegovina, which has led to a stalemate in the functioning of the institutions of the Federation, particularly the Constitutional Court, which is so vital and important if the rule of law is to be observed. Nationalist rhetoric and provocative statements on the Bosniak institutions and unilateral acts undermine the very foundation of the Federation and challenge what has been attained laboriously over 17 years on the basis of the arrangements resulting from the Dayton Agreements. At the same time, Bosnia has not been able to make progress towards the 5 goals and 2 conditions, which are necessary so that the office of the High Representative in particular can be closed. And dealing with the Boško district and redistribution of property. This has a daily impact on the lives of peoples and their economic and social condition and its improvement. Far from serving the long-term interests of any constituent of the Federation, this situation damages everybody, all the communities, by fueling differences, antagonizing interests, and compromising national reconciliation, which is so ardently desired. Given this very worrying trend in many ways, the ordinary union of the Bosnian presidency, the adoption of some decisions on budgetary and defense matters, the holding of regular cabinet meetings, the implementation of the results of local elections in October 2012, and the symbolic election of the first non-Bosniak mayor of Sarajevo do provide us with reasons for hope. They show that the path to compromise is one that can be followed when political will is there and when the rule of law is observed. Mr. President, Bosnia is a country which has emerged from a lengthy and painful conflict. It is a conflict which has left its mark on the conscience of the international community. It has left indelible traces in the conscience of friendly countries. The Dayton agreements are the result of an historic compromise, and they need to be preserved. They need to be strengthened and not weakened or doomed to failure. We trust that all stakeholders in the Federation can resist any attempts at unilateralism and once again resume responsible political dialogue to build a common present and future. It is obviously in the interest of all constituent communities in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the stability of the entire region is also at stake. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'd like to thank the representative from Morocco for that statement, and I now ask the representative of Guatemala to take the floor.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. We welcome Mr. Valentin Inzko, the High Representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We have noted his briefing, which we listened with concern, given the lack of progress that it described over the reporting period. There are five comments that we should like to make on the report. Firstly, we once again wish to assert our support for the Dayton agreements and for the defense and preservation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia-Herzegovina. We believe that it is of vital importance that political leaders and the international presence should keep focused on acknowledging the balance contributed by the Dayton agreements and the subsequent political structures arising from it. Secondly, regarding the previous point and connected to it, we are still worried at the degree and level of negative rhetoric on the part of some leaders directed against the Dayton agreements and the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Bosnia-Herzegovina. And this particularly because these words are accompanied by endeavors to undermine and on some occasions actually halt the way in which the institutions of the federations operate. Despite the constitutional crisis and the deadlock of the current situation, we do welcome the approval of the state budget for 2013. And we also look favorably on the fact that the state cabinet has met regularly. On the other hand, we would also wish to emphasize how important it is for dialogue to be resumed amongst political parties, especially to achieve progress on the legislative front. Thirdly, we are concerned at the persisting situation in Mostar, where it has not been possible to hold local elections, elections which were held in the rest of the country on the 7th of October last year, because of the failure to comply with the ruling of the Constitutional Tribunal of Bosnia-Herzegovina, Constitutional Court. We trust that the multi-party facilitation process will resolve the situation and quell tension. Here, we trust that this important step will lie at the basis of tangible progress and a change towards a stable and democratic country. Fourthly, it is regrettable that during the reporting period, the authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina have not made any real progress at all towards the outstanding goals established by the steering board of the Council of the Peace Agreement as a prerequisite for the closure of the office of the High Representative. We await with interest the outcome of the forthcoming meetings of this board on the 22nd and 23rd of May, and we trust that it will be able to come up with specific recommendations on the path to be followed. Fifthly, we recall the implementation of the ruling of the European Human Rights Court in the Sefcovic Finci Court against Bosnia and Herzegovina. And we emphasize how important it is to protect the rights of minorities and thereby move forward here. Sir, the report shows that irrespective of how many good intentions there may be and support from the international community, this alone will not lead to progress. Here, we concur with High Representative Inzko to the effect that observing the Dayton Agreement, and in particular the constitutional framework and the rule of law, are an indispensable condition and instrument to achieve long-term stability in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Now, it falls to the authorities and political parties to embrace this. Thank you very much, sir.
I
thank the representative of Guatemala for that statement. I now call upon the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to welcome High Representative Inzko back to the Security Council. Ambassador Inzko, thank you for your comprehensive briefing and for your continued efforts to support the Dayton Peace Agreement. Mr. President, the United States is steadfast in our commitment to the success of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and we, like our allies, have invested much in the country since the signing of the Dayton Peace Agreement in 1995. As we reflect on the report presented and on the goodwill we have towards Bosnia and Herzegovina, we wish to address 3 points. First, we continue to strongly support the country's aspirations to integrate into the European Union and NATO, and we had hoped that the new coalition would make these goals their top priorities. Unfortunately, politicians throughout the country seem more interested in putting their own personal political agendas above the interests of the citizens they were elected to represent. In the Federation entity, ongoing efforts to reshuffle the governing coalition have distracted from the Euro-Atlantic reform agenda. The European Court of Human Rights 2009 judgment in the Sedic-Finci case remains unimplemented, violating the human rights of non-constituent peoples and blocking the country from applying for EU candidacy. Unless the issue is resolved soon, Bosnia and Herzegovina risks holding elections next year in violation of the judgment. And the country still needs to register defense properties to meet NATO's condition for activating the membership action plan, a process that is being obstructed by politicians in Republika Srpska. Bosnia and Herzegovina's lack of progress is all the more visible in the context of its neighbors, all of whom are rapidly moving ahead toward Euro-Atlantic integration. Second, it has been more than 5 long years since the Peace Implementation Council's steering board adopted the 5 objectives and 2 conditions for the closure of the Office of the High Representative. The so-called 5+2 consists of issues that OHR is uniquely qualified and authorized to oversee, and which the political leaders of Bosnia and Herzegovina could easily have completed in 2008 and propel the state on its way to the EU and NATO membership. Instead, a number of political leaders have focused their energies on deconstructing or undermining Dayton and the various institutions and laws established since 1995 that Bosnia and Herzegovina needs for both the common good of the people and to function as part of a modern Europe. The local authorities have a legal obligation to respect the authority of the High Representative and the Dayton Framework. Yet Republika Srpska officials have persistently undermined state institutions and made statements calling into question Bosnia and Herzegovina's sovereignty and territorial integrity. In the Federation, local parties in Mostar have failed to meet their obligation to implement the November 10, 2011 Constitutional Court ruling on the electoral system. These actions disregard the most fundamental elements of the Bosnian Constitution and the Dayton Agreement. They must cease immediately. The continuing threats to the Dayton Peace Accords are why we continue to support the presence of OHR until the 5+2 criteria have been met. It is crucial that OHR continue to receive sufficient resources and political support to fulfill its mandate under both the Dayton Peace Agreement and the relevant UN Security Council resolutions. Finally, I would like to highlight the continuing importance of justice and reconciliation for long-term regional stability, particularly in Bosnia and Herzegovina. We join the High Representative in recognizing Serbian President Nikolic for his recent public apology for the crimes committed in Srebrenica. We strongly support the ICTY as it continues its crucial work to bring to justice those individuals responsible for some of the most heinous crimes of the Bosnian conflict. The January signing of a protocol on war crimes cooperation between Bosnia and Herzegovina and Serbia is another positive development that will help ensure locally indicted war crime suspects face justice. Other local developments related to reconciliation, however, are more troubling. We are particularly concerned by the continued efforts to construct an Orthodox church in close proximity, both to an exhumed mass grave in the Potokari Memorial Site and Cemetery, where thousands of victims of the Srebrenica genocide are laid to rest. The United States strongly supports freedom of religion, but the construction of a church in such a sensitive location where there is no local Orthodox community can only be interpreted as a deliberate provocation designed to deepen mistrust and fear between ethnic groups. Mr. President, I again want to express the strong commitment of the United States to seeing Bosnia and Herzegovina move past its troubled past toward a thriving future. We look forward to working with the government of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the international community to see the Dayton Peace Agreement fully implemented and the country irreversibly moving toward its Euro-Atlantic path. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United States for that statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Luxembourg. President, allow me to join previous speakers in wishing Mr. Insko, the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, I should like to thank him for his commitment and efforts here. We join the statement that will be made by the European Union. The High Representative has just painted a rather grim picture of the situation in Bosnia-Herzegovina. The political crisis at the level of the BNH Federation continues to be an obstacle to necessary reforms. The territorial integrity and unity of Bosnia-Herzegovina continue to be a divisive topic in the political class and are endangered by most worrisome separatist rhetoric. The country is facing a difficult socioeconomic situation. Without a shared vision for the future of the country, the leaders of the Federation have been unable to undertake crucial reforms to achieve the goals that they themselves set forth regarding Euro-Atlantic and European integration. This being the case, not all news is bad news, as noted in by the High Representative in his 43rd report to the Security Council, and as he recalled this morning. We welcome that the Council of State Ministers, which was reshuffled last December, is meeting regularly. We would also note that the state budget for 2013 was adopted within the set time frame for the first time in 2 years. Moreover, we note that the security situation has remained calm and stable. Since its launching in 2004, the European force EUFOR Althea has never been called upon to intervene to reestablish peace, given that the Bosnian authorities themselves were able to tackle possible threats to security. Against this backdrop, EUFOR Althea was reconfigured in September 2012. We welcome the fact that following the reconfiguration, the primary efforts of the force are now in the area of capacity building and training, while still having the means to contribute to the deterrent capabilities of the Bosnia-Herzegovina authorities. Mr. President, Luxembourg is pleased with its scaled-up European Union political presence on the ground since September 2011 and the bolstered mandate of its special representative and head of the delegation in Sarajevo, Mr. Peter Sorensen. All of these activities bear witness to the continuous will of the European Union to help the country to better carry out its reforms and to progress towards stability, development, and accession to the European Union. In some weeks to come, Croatia will be joining the European Union, and Serbia and Kosovo are seeing their relations become increasingly normal thanks to dialogue facilitated by the European Union. Nevertheless, we are concerned by the delay that Bosnia and Herzegovina is experiencing with respect to its neighboring countries. We would like to take this opportunity to call upon the political leaders to overcome their differences and to implement necessary reforms for progress in the country. The most urgent reform is the application of the decision of the European Human Rights Court regarding the Sejdić and Finci case regarding the rights of minorities to be elected to the Bosnian presidency and the Chamber of the People in the Bosnian Parliament. We regret the fact that in spite of the European Union's efforts, the political leaders have not yet found agreement on this matter before the cutoff date of 11 April. President, allow me, by way of conclusion, to reiterate our deep-rooted belief that the future of Bosnia-Herzegovina as a united, stable, and multi-ethnic state is part of a European destiny. This is also the wish of the majority of the Bosnian people. For its part, as a member state of the European Union and elected member of the Security Council, Luxembourg shall spare no effort in encouraging the leaders in Bosnia-Herzegovina to rise to the aspirations of their citizens by overcoming the current stalemate and taking necessary decisions to truly take the future of their country in their hands. I thank you, sir. I thank the representative of Luxembourg for that statement. And now, call upon the representative of the Russian Federation to take the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. We carefully listened to the High Representative to Bosnia-Herzegovina, Mr. Insko. His report to the Security Council was informative and detailed, but unfortunately was far from being an objective analysis of the true situation in the country, and suffers from biased criticism of the Bosnian-Serbian leaders. So as to create a more objective idea of the situation in Bosnia and the processes there, we would recommend members of the Council to also read the 9th report of the Serbian Republic to the Secretary General and the Security Council, where the commitment of the Bosnian Serbians and to international law and the spirit of Dayton is absolutely clear. Mr. President, we agree that the situation in BNH continues to worsen. However, the reasons for yet another crisis in the state level is hardly to be found in the rhetoric of the leaders of the Serbian Republic. Of true concern is an exacerbation of antagonisms between the two primary Bosnian parties. The effectiveness of the inter-Bosnian dialogue has been endangered. There are complications for the central Bosnian institutions, and the government of the Federation of BNH is indeed paralyzed. The recent detention of its president on counts of corruption illustrate the future exacerbation of the political further exacerbation of the political crisis in the Croatian Muslim entities against a backdrop of tensions between Bosniaks and Croatians. We're seriously concerned about the inflammatory rhetoric of Bosnians. How else might we characterize allegations that the Serbian Republic arose solely as a result of ethnic cleansing and war crimes? We are concerned to note a significant rise in radicalism in the Federation of Islamist bent. Unlike the Federation of BNH, the situation in the Serbian Republic is on the whole stable. Amongst its political forces, there is continuing successful cooperation in Bosnian affairs based on an approach upholding the Dayton agreements and the national interests of the Bosnian Serbs in BNH. The government of the Republic has insisted on the necessity to achieve agreement on in BNH on reform in the country, refraining from violations of consensus, including when taking decisions on interpolitical matters. Without upholding these principles, the existence of BNH is impossible. Mr. President, Russia supports the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina and hopes to see a sound functioning of its institutions with equal footing for the three state constituent peoples in line with the Dayton agreements. An important task for the international community at this stage of settlement in the country, we feel, is a handover of responsibilities for the future of the country to Bosnians themselves. Along these lines, we stand for an abolishment of the Office of the High Representative and a return to the objectives of achieving agreement on the 5+2 program agreed upon by the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board. We are convinced that the residual issues in this framework, as well as any other vital matters for the future of the country, should be resolved by Bosnians themselves by achieving agreement between all state constituent peoples of BNH, Bosnians, Serbians, and Croatians. In this context, we support the principled position regarding the necessity of or the inadmissibility of an outside intervention in the internal negotiations process in BNH. Any outside support to a single side would undermine the delicate political balance in the country. We are against a resumption of the activities of the OHR in the European integration agenda for BNH. The right to define the integration in the future, as well as breathing new dynamism to the reform process, is the one that is supported by Bosnians themselves. We should like to caution the high representatives against using the obsolete emergency bond powers, which only have exacerbated already negative situations in BNH in the past. A striking example was the removal in March 2011 of the procedural obstacles to the establishment of guiding bodies in the Federation without the leading Croatian parties, to a large extent because the crisis remains unabated today. We feel that the decision for key matters in settlement of the situation should be taken on the basis of the international agreed-upon format from the Security Council and the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board. There's a clear necessity for more active work to be carried out by the OHR in lifting sanctions with respect to Bosnian officials, basically Serbians, due to allegations of their assistance to ICTY suspects. This process continues to move at a snail's pace, and I recall that over the past 6 months, restrictions were lifted only with respect to one individual and continue to be applied to about 3 out of a dozen others. The High Representative, together with the Steering Committee, should think about appropriate steps for a final closing of the frozen mission of the International Supervisors in Brzezinka and the Outside Arbitration Tribunal. As a step in the drawdown of the OHR, we would see the establishment, or rather a scaling up of the EU mission in B&H. In this context, we would stand for clear division of posts between the High Representative and the EU Special Representatives and strict compliance with their mandates, ruling out a duplication. We are not a participant to the European forces, Altea forces in B&H, but we support the task before to ensure security in B&H and the training of the Ministry of Defense and Armed Forces for the country. We should like to specifically touch on the matter of international reconciliation in B&H. We back an impartial investigation of all crimes committed from 1992 to 1995. For the time being, in consideration of relevant affairs, be it in the ICTY or B&H judiciaries, there are obvious bias. They tend to deal only with allegations against Serbians, and we wonder about the demonstrative disengagement of the primary prosecutor of the Hague Tribunal from contacts with organizations of relatives of Serbian and Croatian victims of the crisis in Yugoslavia. Most important are collective efforts to scale up comprehensive internal Bosnian dialogue without any intervention from the outside and on the regarding agreed upon options for social, economic and structural reforms in line with the Dayton agreements and mechanisms. We agree with the importance of amending the B&H convention in line with the decision of the European High Court on Human Rights on the Sejdić-Finci case. We are convinced that compromise is possible here and it must be sought through continuing dialogue, but we can't agree with a broad interpretation of the views of the court and using these as a pretext to impose a review of all of Dayton's provisions. I thank you, President.
Je remercie.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for that statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Azerbaijan.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I would like to thank Mr. Valentin Inzko, High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, for presenting the 43rd report on the implementation of the peace agreement on Bosnia and Herzegovina. We note that the security situation in the country continued to remain stable. Among achievements registered during the reporting period are regular meetings of the state-level Council of Ministers, the timely adoption of the state budget for 2013, and continued cooperation with the International Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. We also note efforts towards addressing the needs of displaced persons in the country and finding durable housing solutions for them in a more coordinated way. However, according to the report, unfortunate dynamic with reversion of the progress to the prevailing negative trends of the previous 6 years has continued during the reporting period. As a result, no concrete progress has been made towards meeting the outstanding objectives for closure of the Office of the High Representative. The political consensus has been undermined by the deepening divisions among political parties and the protracted power struggle at the federation and cantonal levels. We are alarmed at the continuation of direct and open challenges to the fundamentals of the peace agreement, including in particular the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Azerbaijan condemns divisive rhetoric advocating dissolution of the state, as well as any action or attempt to challenge the functionality of the state and its constitutional responsibilities. We would like to emphasize in that regard that neither the General Framework Agreement for Peace nor general international law contain any provision invoking the claimed right to self-determination for the purpose of unilateral secession from or dissolution of the state. Obviously, attempts to negate or challenge vital aspects of the peace agreement and to undermine the unity of Bosnia and Herzegovina require special attention of the international community. We agree with the High Representative that abiding by the Dayton Agreement, and in particular the constitutional framework and the rule of law, is a prerequisite for long-term stability. The economic and social situation in the country continued to weaken during the reporting period, with a decrease in export, import, and industrial production, and an increase in the foreign trade deficit and unemployment. It is therefore critical that all political factions of Bosnia and Herzegovina focus on the country's economic and development priorities. There is also a need for a redoubled effort to address and resolve long outstanding humanitarian issues, in particular those relating to property, and to ensure that the rights of returnees are fully guaranteed and implemented. We call on all parties in Bosnia and Herzegovina to engage in constructive dialogue with a view to addressing pressing challenges, to overcoming the political stalemate, and to strengthening stability and unity of the country. It is also important that the Security Council and the broader international community continue to support progress towards stability and development in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the efforts of the country's political leadership to that end. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Azerbaijan for that statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I join the others in welcoming Mr. Valentin Inzko to the Council. We also appreciate his concise and pointed briefing. Mr. President, we also would like to offer some observations on the challenges that lie ahead of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Firstly, while we welcome the relatively calm and stable security environment in the country, it is disappointing that there still remain major challenges coming from the power struggle and lack of trust among political actors. The cautious optimism that prevailed early last year quickly turned into disappointment and frustration. The government coalition, which was formed after 6 months of twists and turns, has proved to be short-lived. The protracted power struggle among political parties is still impeding the government from working on pressing issues such as constitutional reform. It is worrisome that the rule of law has been severely undermined by political instability. The rule of law is a prerequisite for democracy and a central component for long-term peace and security. In light of this, we remain deeply concerned that political leaders casually violate the law for their own purposes and repeatedly fail to implement the decision of the Constitutional Court. The deadlock on the appointment of the missing judges to the Federation Constitutional Court is also a serious source of concern. We urge all the political stakeholders to engage in constructive political dialogue and to respect the Constitution and the procedures established by the law so that the government can fully function and perform its responsibility under the Constitution. Secondly, another worrisome trend is the growing open advocacy for the dissolution of Bosnia and Herzegovina. As the High Representative elaborated in his report, there have been distressingly high levels of provocative rhetoric from the leadership of the Republika Srpska, challenging the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Such nationalistic rhetoric will only serve to inflame ethnic tensions. We call on leaders from all parties to refrain from divisive rhetoric that undermines national reconciliation and the prospects for long-term stability. This political instability in Bosnia and Herzegovina brings me to my third point, the importance of national ownership. Despite years of international support, we are still witnessing a continuing political crisis, and little progress has been made on national reconciliation. I believe that this can largely be attributed to the lack of the ownership of political stakeholders. No democratic process is sustainable in the absence of a meaningful degree of political ownership and national reconciliation. In this vein, we would like to encourage the authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina to further strengthen its efforts to promote the value of tolerance and inter-ethnic understanding through a multi-ethnic education and confidence-building measures. Enhancing civil society engagement will be also crucial in ensuring accountable, responsive, and democratic governance. Civil society can play a pivotal role in holding their political leaders or political representatives more accountable. In this regard, the Republic of Korea encourages the High Representative to redouble his efforts to build the capacity of grassroots civil society organizations. Finally, we absolutely share with the High Representative that we need to pay continuous attention on Bosnia and Herzegovina's progress with patience and long-term approach. In this regard, we would like to express our full support for the efforts of the High Representative. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le
I thank the representative of the Republic of Korea for his statement. And I now invite the representative of France to take the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. I should like to thank Mr. Valentinsko, the High Representative of Bosnia-Herzegovina, for his report, and I join with a statement to be made by the representative of the European Union. Mr. President, the security situation on the ground has remained calm and stable, and this security environment has been wholly nurtured by the action of Bosnian institutions. This has been a constant for several years and is to be welcomed. On the other hand, the series of political crises for years, centrally and now, besetting the Federation, as well as persistent tension amongst the political representatives of the communities, have been paralyzing the country and worry France. These relentless clashes, it is true to say, divert the Bosnian authorities from their goal of Euro-Atlantic integration. And we regret even more the fact that other states in the region are on the point of passing an historic milestone in this process, or have shown their capacity for dialogue and compromise, which affords them the opportunity of moving further towards their European goal. We call once again on the Bosnian government to start the eagerly awaited reforms. This sells good for bringing the constitution into line with the European Human Rights Court's Sejic Vefinci ruling. This is a crucial issue for progress to be made towards the European Union. And there is the resolution of the issue of the distribution of state and defence property. But it is also vital to improve the smooth working and efficacy of institutions, starting by establishing a coordination mechanism on European matters. Mr. President, we remain attached to the prospect of seeing Bosnia-Herzegovina join the European Union as a united and sovereign country, enjoying full territorial integrity. But a country under trusteeship and deeply riven cannot, as such, belong to the European Union. It is therefore for the Bosnians and their leaders to find an historic compromise which will make Bosnia-Herzegovina to rely on institutions which work effectively, which it would clearly appear would not allow the current use being made of the institutional framework, a legacy of Dayton. Mr. President, we welcome the ongoing reconfiguration of the international presence in Bosnia-Herzegovina, a harbinger of opportunity and an illustration of the leading role which the EU can and should play in this country, in accordance with the European vision offered to Bosnia-Herzegovina. The European Union is stepping up its political, human, and financial commitment in the country. The Office of the Special Representative of the EU has been very considerably strengthened, covering both its regional presence and the rule of law. Mr. Peter Sørensen, the Special Representative and Delegate of the European Union, enjoys our full support. The reconfiguration of EUFOR-Althea, resulting from a calm and stable environment, has made it possible to cut the forces which are stationed there to 600 men and to focus them on capacity building and training. The Security Council must acknowledge this change of the nature of Jofaltea when this autumn it scrutinizes the role of the mission. Jofaltea at present has a residual executive mandate to support the abilities of the authorities of the country to maintain security, should the situation so require. Now, the Bosnian authorities have always been able to ensure security and therefore, to this end, do not need the European military presence, as is regularly recalled in the reports of the Operation Commander. The action of IFOR ALTA in this drawdown phase must continue to complement that of other actors there. I'm thinking particularly of the OSCE, which is deploying its second largest mission, covering a broad range of activities such as governance, the rule of law, the respect of human rights, but also the management of arms stocks and munition surpluses, an area where the OSCE should retain the leading role and where there to be indeed a proliferation of other actors, that would be counterproductive. So, consideration on the reconfiguration of the OHR has been commenced, including in the European Union, which, I would remind you, contributes more than 53% to the budget of the office. These considerations observe not that the political situation is a positive one, but quite the opposite, that continuing political difficulties require us to think anew and adjust our strategy. Keeping at any price an approach dating from the 90s does not help Bosnia-Herzegovina. We wish to see the office taking a scale consonant with its residual responsibilities, strengthening its transparency and complementary nature with the EU office. The government crisis at present reminds us that it is high time to change the approach and to ensure that the politicians in Bosnia face up to their responsibilities. Then the role of the High Representative must be limited to the essential core of the mission within the civil plank of the peace agreements. Thank you. I should like to thank the Representative of France for that statement, and I now give the floor to the Representative of the United Kingdom.
Mr. President, I would like to thank High Representative Valentin Inzko for joining us in the Council today and join others in expressing our appreciation of his work and his latest report. His detailed and objective analysis of the worsening political situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina makes for sobering reading, and I wish to convey the United Kingdom's support for the High Representative and his continued commitment to the implementation of the Dayton Peace Accords in this context. Mr. President, the United Kingdom shares the High Representative's frustration and concern at the continuing lack of political will to deliver crucial reforms in Bosnia and Herzegovina since his last appearance before the Council. We deeply regret that Bosnia and Herzegovina's leaders were unable to seize an important opportunity this year to make tangible progress towards joining the European Union and NATO. The United Kingdom has been a consistent supporter of Bosnia and Herzegovina's Euro-Atlantic ambitions and continues to believe that EU and NATO membership remain the strongest way to ensure the security, stability, and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Mr. President, in July, one of Bosnia and Herzegovina's neighbours, Croatia, will join the European Union. There is a lesson here. That a determined and strategic commitment to the accession process and to related reforms yields results. Reform progress carries aspirant countries forward down the path of European integration. Journeys which seem long and distant in their early stages can end up being completed. But this only happens where politicians act decisively and strategically, where they commit themselves to the goal of European Union membership, and where they make sustained efforts to implement the necessary reforms. What we have seen in Bosnia and Herzegovina over this reporting period is that, yet again, personal and political interests have been prioritized over the needs and ambitions of ordinary citizens, leaving the country to fall further behind its neighbours on the EU track. We still hope that Bosnia and Herzegovina will be able to make progress towards the European Union this year and bring their stabilisation and association agreement into force. But the ball is in their court. As the High Representative notes in his report, the European Union has already provided generous support to help facilitate a solution to the European Court of Human Rights Sejdić-Finci ruling that remains a sole obstacle to their stabilisation and association agreement. That the political parties were unable to agree a deal in spite of this support was deeply disappointing. And unless Bosnia and Herzegovina's governing institutions act quickly and decisively to remedy this and find a solution, it has all but ended their chances of submitting a credible membership application this year. We are disappointed also at the failure to complete the registration of defence property that continues to hamper implementation of Bosnia and Herzegovina's NATO membership action plan, in spite of assurances made by party leaders to NATO Secretary General Rasmussen during his visit in February. We urge them to fulfil their commitment to the March 2012 agreement. We share the High Representative's concern and condemnation of those in the Republika Srpska who continue to advocate the dissolution of Bosnia and Herzegovina. There can be no redrawing of the map, nor any prospect of Bosnia and Herzegovina joining the European Union as anything other than a single sovereign state. We are also gravely concerned by the sustained political crisis in the Federation and the continued impasse in Mostar. The ongoing disputes and associated institutional gridlock deeply discredit the political parties in the Federation entity. As the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board has pointed out, ensuring the functioning of institutions is not a choice, it is an obligation. We fully support the High Representative's efforts to find a local solution to these issues and welcome his continued cooperation with the EU Special Representative in pushing for their resolution. Mr. President, there have been rare occasions this year where agreement has been found amongst Bosnia and Herzegovina's leaders. As the High Representative's report makes clear, the successful reshuffle of the Council of Ministers has led to regular meetings this year, and the passing of the state budget on time is to be welcomed. These incidents show that political will can be found to act in the national interest, and we must continue actively to encourage this behaviour. But these are regrettably rare examples. Meanwhile, the social, political and economic impacts of inaction are already apparent in Bosnia and Herzegovina. We share the High Representative's concern at the deteriorating economic situation and call on Bosnia and Herzegovina's leaders to ensure the country is well prepared to weather the economic impact of Croatian accession to the EU in July. Here again, the state of near gridlock which we have witnessed in recent months is very damaging. Not just because of the signal it sends to potential investors, but also because it contributes to delay in disbursing international financial assistance for Bosnia and Herzegovina. Mr. President, the negative trends that the High Representative illustrates in his report reinforce our assessment that international safeguards and a reinforced EU presence continue to play an important role in ensuring security and stability in Bosnia and Herzegovina. As such, the United Kingdom supports the High Representative's recommendation that EUFOR Althea and its executive mandate are retained this year, and we look forward to discussions on this matter at the October EU Foreign Affairs Council and in the UN Security Council in November.
I should like to thank the representative of the UK, and I now give the floor to the representative of Rwanda.
Mr. President, I would like to thank Dr. Valentin Inzko, High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina, for the comprehensive presentation of his 9th report submitted to the Security Council, 43rd report of his office. We particularly thank you for the work you are doing in ensuring that the Dayton Peace Agreement is fully implemented. Let me also commend international efforts that have for so long try to foster peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina, particularly the steering board of the Peace Implementation Council. This 9th report presents mixed progress. We have all noted that the security situation in the country has remained calm and stable with no major incidents. We commend the BNH authorities in that regard, as well as the EU military mission Europhol Althea for its valuable assistance to the government. We are also encouraged by the fact that the Council of Ministers met regularly and that the budget was adopted on time. We are also happy to hear that a tripartite summit will be held today between Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, and Turkey, and we hope that it will boost regional cooperation. However, we are concerned at the current political stalemate. We note that the cohesiveness and unity of the government have been severely challenged by disagreement between the political actors, particularly in the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This standoff has had negative implications to their own development, as well as the fulfillment of the 5+2 agenda set out for the closure of the office of the High Representative. It is here important to stress that every branch of power, particularly the government and the parliament, must abide by its constitutional role. It is also important that all stakeholders continue to be engaged in dialogue in order to unlocking the stalemate. If progress has to be made, constructive dialogue between all ethnic groups, including the minorities, and between the various structures in Bosnia and Herzegovina on one side and the High Representative on the other is very critical. Mr. President, we reaffirm our support to the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and we believe that all parties shall refrain from divisive and secessionist rhetoric, which is not only in violation of the Dayton Peace Agreement, but could also jeopardize the fragile reconciliation process in that country. Let me also point out that the cultural differences are far to be a handicap, but are rather an important asset for BNH people. Therefore, all parties and entities need to look beyond ethnic lines so as to achieve greater heights, including meeting the requirements to join the European Union. Mr. President, on justice and human rights, let me be clear as representative of Rwanda. The genocide of Srebrenica is an unquestionable fact established by the International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia. We therefore condemn all senior officials of the Republika Srpska who deny it or defend its perpetrators. Indeed, genocide denial is not only an insult to the victims and to history, but also a serious hindrance to genuine reconciliation. However, we believe that justice, in order to be an effective tool for reconciliation in Bosnia and Herzegovina, must be done for all victims without discrimination. Rwanda would also wish to stress that the human and political rights need to be extended to minorities. I recall that the Sejdić-Finci ruling by the European Court of Human Rights on the right of minorities to be elected to the presidency and to the House of Peoples is yet to be implemented. We therefore urge all parties to engage in dialogue on this issue with a view to exploring constitutional reforms that could ensure equality for all in Bosnia and Herzegovina. In the same vein, we call for the implementation of the November 2010 decision of the Constitutional Court of Bosnia and Herzegovina regarding the electoral system in the city of Mostar. We urge the local authorities to take their responsibility in order to abide by the Dayton Agreement and allow the people of Mostar to exercise their democratic right. Mr. President, in conclusion, my delegation would like to stress that the achievement of sustainable peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina lies with its people and its leaders. We hope that in the near future, the government of that country will be able to own its future with a limited international presence. We therefore call upon all parties to demonstrate political will and implement in good faith the outstanding requirements of the 5+2 agenda, which is the only way to graduate from the monitoring of the Office of the High Representative and to ensure a better future for the people of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Rwanda. And I now give the floor to the representative of Australia.
Thank you, Mr. President, for convening this debate, and I would like to join others in thanking the High Representative, Dr. Valentin Insko, for his report on the implementation of the Dayton Peace Agreement. Dr. Insko has brought forward a typically thorough and objective account of the continuing challenges to Bosnia and Herzegovina's progress and its European and Euro-Atlantic integration. I express Australia's strong support for him and for the work of his office. Australia has a close association with Bosnia and Herzegovina. In the 1990s, Australian peacekeepers served alongside their EU and NATO counterparts to help build peace. During that period, we were proud to receive over 30,000 people displaced from Bosnia and Herzegovina to Australia through our humanitarian immigration program. Today, they are valued members of our society. We are demonstrably committed to seeing Bosnia and Herzegovina consolidate itself as a stable, unified country that can provide for the needs of all its citizens. 17 years after the historic Dayton Peace Agreement was signed, Bosnia and Herzegovina finds itself in the midst of a difficult political phase. There have been some positive recent developments. We welcome, for example, regular meetings between the Presidency and the Council of Ministers, and that the 2013 state budget was adopted on time for the first time in 2 years. We encourage Bosnia and Herzegovina's leaders to display the unity of purpose that will allow them to build on these achievements. We are, however, concerned by other developments that threaten to roll back the progress achieved since the mid-1990s. In particular, challenges in some quarters to the fundamentals of the peace agreement and the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina risk eroding the fragile gains that have been made in nation building. Australia fully supports the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is the fundamental pillar of the Dayton Peace Agreement, which has underwritten peace and stability. It also remains critical to broader peace and stability in the Balkans. We encourage all political leaders in Bosnia and Herzegovina to respect the status of the country as an independent sovereign nation and engage in a constructive dialogue to strengthen government in ways that deliver on the aspirations of the people. This is all the more important as Bosnia and Herzegovina approaches the elections scheduled for next year. We also encourage political leaders to commit to constitutional reform to establish strong and representative state structures. Agreement on constitutional amendments to implement the European Court of Human Rights ruling in the Sedgwick Finci case should be an immediate priority, as a strong signal that Bosnia and Herzegovina guarantees to all its citizens an equal stake in the country's future. And it is also needed to place Bosnia and Herzegovina firmly back on the path towards its goal of European and Euro-Atlantic integration. Australia acknowledges the fact that Bosnia and Herzegovina remains relatively safe and secure for its citizens. We share the view that stability at present is in no small part backed by the presence of the European Union and NATO military missions. This is another example of the role regional organisations can and must play in securing regional stability and the importance of this Council engaging closely with them. Australia endorses the ongoing presence of EUFOR. Its ongoing monitoring and reporting and arms disposal activities contribute to peace and stability every day. EUFOR will not and should not stay forever, but for now remains important to sustaining confidence among communities. And so long as the remaining objectives and conditions for closure of the Office of the High Representative remain unmet, we should continue to support the efforts of the High Representative to help deliver sustainable peace and prosperity in Bosnia and Herzegovina. In a climate of fiscal constraint, we applaud the efforts by the Office of the High Representative to reduce costs. These ensure the Office's ongoing financial viability. To conclude, the leaders of Bosnia and Herzegovina themselves have the ultimate responsibility to put their country where we all want to see it, on an irreversible path to peace and greater prosperity. To do so, we encourage them to put aside their differences and work together to implement the outstanding objectives and conditions of the 5+2 agenda. Of course, the international community, and particularly the Security Council, has an important support role to play. We must continue to engage to help realise the goal of a stable, sovereign Bosnia and Herzegovina at peace with itself and united in building a prosperous future for its own people. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Australia for that statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Pakistan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I join other speakers in thanking Mr. Valentin Inzko for his briefing today and for his good work as the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina. We have taken note of his report to the Security Council. We welcome in our midst Ambassador of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Her Excellency Ms. Sada Kolakovic. Pakistan is fully committed to the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We support all efforts to strengthen the state at the national level while preserving the rights and prerogatives of all communal entities. Let me start with the positive feedback given by Mr. Insko. We are glad to know that the state-level Council of Ministers has met regularly and the budget for 2013 was adopted. The European Union and NATO military missions continue to ensure safety and security of citizens. The negative feedback, however, surpasses the good news. Progress on the political track is unfortunately stalled. Worsening fiscal situation, poor growth, and high employment are compounding social problems. There is no movement towards European and Euro-Atlantic integration. The lack of progress on the implementation of the 5 objectives and 2 conditions necessary for the closure of the Office of the High Representative is an indication of the lack of commitment towards the future of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We commend the High Representative for offering his good offices and engaging political stakeholders for breaking the impasse. Pakistan is deeply concerned by the increasing challenges to the Dayton Peace Agreement and the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. The Republika Srpska and its leadership have taken several actions during this period that violate the General Framework Agreement. These include the adoption of a decree to unilaterally regulate citizen identification, non-implementation of the decisions of the Constitutional Court, and intensified rhetoric by its leadership, in particular its president, against the General Framework Agreement. His assertions for self-determination for the Serbs and his calls for dissolution of the state of Bosnia should be a matter of serious concern for the entire Council. We believe that statements like these would not serve the interest of any community, as this would vitiate the atmosphere and undermine the prospects of long-term peaceful coexistence. Challenges to the Dayton Peace Agreement, as well as divisive rhetoric, should therefore be avoided. The RS president has also continued to target the key state institutions of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is undermining their effectiveness. The institutions that were established to exercise responsibilities of the state under the Constitution are a cornerstone for safeguarding the rule of law, sovereignty, territorial integrity, and constitutional order of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Efforts to undermine them would have an adverse impact on the long-term stability of the state. We condemn statements by senior RS officials denying the genocide committed in Srebrenica in 1995, which has been confirmed by the rulings of the ICJ, ICTY, and other courts. Such statements will do serious damage to the reconciliation process inside Bosnia and Herzegovina and regionally. In this regard, we welcome the courageous and historic statement of Serbian President Tomislav Nikolic, offering apology for the genocide committed in Srebrenica. It is vitally important for all parties to recognize the international and legal frameworks for the division of power in the country. Pakistan supports all efforts to ensure a safe and secure environment in Bosnia and Herzegovina. We urge the leadership of the country to resolve their differences through dialogue. The Office of the High Representative should continue to play its role in this regard. We wish him success. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Pakistan for that statement and now give the floor to the representative of China.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I thank High Representative Insko for his briefing. China welcomes the achievements made by Bosnia and Herzegovina in promoting national reconciliation and economic development and in building the rule of law. We have also noted that Bosnia and Herzegovina still faces difficulties and challenges in attaining stability and development in the country. We hope that people of all ethnic groups in the country will focus on the welfare and long-term interests of the country, take effective measures to build mutual political confidence, promote national reconciliation, consolidate the achievements made in the political process, and through dialogue actively settle their differences and implement comprehensively the Dayton Peace Agreement in order to bring about greater progress in all areas. Mr. President, China respects the independence, sovereignty, national unity, and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We respect the choice made by its people regarding their country's future. We support their ethnic groups living in harmony and seeking common development, maintaining peace and stability in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and promoting its economic and social development are in keeping with the interests of all parties concerned. China supports the international community in playing a constructive role and calls upon the international community to continue its support and assistance to BNH. Meanwhile, the question of BNH is highly complex and sensitive, as it involves not only the country itself but also the peace and stability in the entire Balkan region. The international community should adopt a prudent attitude on this question and make greater efforts to hear the views and concerns of the parties involved. Mr. President, China welcomes the efforts made by Mr. Insko, the High Representative, for promoting the political process in BNH, and hopes that based on his mandate, he will continue to play an active and constructive role in promoting the implementation of the Dayton Peace Accord. China is ready to join the international community in continuing its due contribution to achieving durable peace, stability and development in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Thank you, Mr. President.
I
thank the representative of China for that statement. And now I should like to call upon the representative of Argentina.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. The representative of Korea usually says, well, I'll put forward some philosophical points. Well, yes, I've studied this, but I think that when we analyze Bosnia and Herzegovina as well, we cannot address it, as sometimes the case, as a sort of conditioned reflex. There's a model there, and you press a switch, and the thing starts to work. We're talking about what is human. We're talking about societies. We're talking about peace. Now, I make this point because, with all due respect, in 1995, with immense respect, we saw once again, I would say, that when mankind and in various places wreaks cruelty and death, at the same time, hope springs up. A philosopher said that hope lies with those who cannot be consoled. I say this because it's every time we say, well, there's this that's good, that's bad, this was signed, that wasn't, there are elections, etc., and we forget the complex web that societies have to weave with a resolve to peace. And we must stop just repeating protectorates that belong to ages past, and we must instead make a contribution so that each country can be the artifice of its own destiny. Many colleagues have said that steps have to be taken in order to arrive at full European integration, full European Union membership. Yes, undeniably, these are steps which have to be trodden for there to be full inclusion in the international community based on a confidence, on trust. But this must not obey whims, but the pace must be that of the various cultures, the various peoples involved. We know that as in other cases, we're looking at multi-ethnic communities, multicultural ones. And this is not the result of nature, but of a free decision to reach an agreement, a contract, arrive at a pact. And this, Mr. Valentininsko, as is known, requires unwavering attention, patience, and a gaze on a favorable prospect. Mr. Valentinsky, thank you for your report. I think on occasion it's not worthwhile dwelling on certain considerations, but it's always worthwhile remembering that change cannot be imposed, rather it has to be constructed, to be built, particularly when we talk in terms of peace and integration. So here in the report, we view as encouraging the fact that the new cabinet has held a regular meeting since it was restructured last November, and there has been the adoption of the budget for 2013. So we welcome this, but this should be normal, and we welcome it as something extraordinary. It's something that should be routine, that should be normal, were we to have a state with institutions that work. So the very fact that this first step has been taken, it means that we can trust that what is extraordinary will become ordinary, will become the norm. We welcome the establishment of the working group to deal with the problems of state and defense property and the ownership thereof. And as have done other colleagues, we indicate that this progress, which has been recorded, which started at the beginning of 2011, and we now see that they're slackening if we read the reports, and there's been a return to the negative tendencies of past years. So rather than complaining at this, we should, instead of regretting it, we should realize that we must understand what are the deep-rooted causes of this stalemate and these difficulties. And instead of just providing a list of new mandates, we should help to contribute with our position to the compliance of with agreements that were so freely signed in Dayton. We also welcome the smooth functioning of the institutions of the Republika Srpska, but we would also signal concern, and once again, I say, our willingness to understand and to make a contribution to these challenges which are thrown down by some leaders of this republic, the signing of the peace agreements, the territorial integrity of BH, or this these attacks on institutions, on key institutions, this should not be repeated. But how can we contribute? Undeniably, rhetoric denying genocide in Srebrenica, despite the rulings of the International Court of Justice and the ICTY. Well, this is of particular concern, inasmuch as we as countries who have witnessed, who have experienced these situations, we realize that the path of denial is that of impunity. So therefore, we call upon the leadership of the Republika Srpska to renew its commitment with constitutional order, the constitutional order of Bosnia-Herzegovina and its sovereignty and territorial integrity, and its commitment to international law and human rights. The crisis which broke out in the Federation this a political crisis which started with the no-confidence vote of the Social Democratic Party to get rid of the Party for Democratic Action of the Democratic of the Government Coalition. Is now being analysed by the Supreme Court, and a decision must be taken as to whether or not a vital national interest was affected. I think we've all read the report, and this is a clear indication, a clear example of what Mr. Valentin Inzko was saying to us, that a party and highly personal interests seems to stand above the common weal and interest of society. When institutions work as corporations with the vested interests of the few, they can in no way help towards confidence building and moving towards democracy and peace. The results of the local elections in October last year, in particular the case of Srebrenica, this is good news, as justice will deal with the indictments, and we know that there are elections still to be held in the city of Mostar, for example, to elect local authorities. And we trust that these elections will be held freely. Free elections never hurt. A failure to hold elections curbs the movement towards constitutional agreements and social peace. Lastly, sir, regarding the decision of the European Court on Human Rights in the case of Sedgwick and Finzi, we regret that the deadline of the 11th of April, laid down by the European Union as a cut-off date for an agreement on the necessary constitutional amendments, has not been observed, and we call upon the political leadership of B&H to redouble its efforts to reach this agreement. Argentina would like to acknowledge the work done of the OHR in implementing the civil aspects of the Dayton Agreement, as well as the action to ensure that government institutions can meet the terms of the peace agreements and the state constitution. We acknowledge what is done here, and we believe that the presence of the office is necessary to contribute to a dialogue which cannot be ensured forever, but we do believe that it is always necessary. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Je remercie la
I thank the representative of Argentina for that statement. I will now make a statement in my national capacity as the representative of Togo, ladies and gentlemen. For my turn, I should like to thank the High Representative of the International Community in Bosnia-Herzegovina, Mr. Valentin Inzko, for a six-month report on the development of the political and social situation in the country. Here, I shall limit my statement to a few comments and observations on the political situation in the country and the state of its institutions and reforms to be undertaken, as well as the matter of conditions conducive to the closing of the office of the High Representative. Regarding the political situation, my country notes with regret the ongoing inability of the Bosnian political class to achieve lasting political consensus on unifying projects. This perhaps explains a lack of significant progress made over the last reporting period. Indeed, the positive trend we saw in the beginning of 2012, which was welcomed during the 15 May debate, seems to be losing steam. During this debate, we noted that following the establishment of a central government in February 2012, after the political compromise arrived at after the general elections of October 2010, the adoption in May 2012 of some measures such as the national budget and the voting on the census as well as state aid, the Bosnian political class was able to go beyond community-based divisions so as to better tackle shoring up unity in the country and moving forward with common interests. Unfortunately, the leaders of this country were unable to continue with this positive trend, which would have led to positive prospects for the country, in particular, Euro-Atlantic integration. My country feels that the current stalemate or even backsliding on the political front is due, to a large extent, to the reluctance of some players to engage in dialogue in a spirit of compromise, as well as a desire to make fragile the central Bosnian authority, endangering the integral implementation of the Dayton agreements. These agreements, as other speakers said, need to be implemented and their stipulations retained to allow the country to make further progress. We condemn nationalist discourse, which would exacerbate existing political tension between various communities, as well as erode state institutions and international community efforts for peace and stability in the country and in the region. Once again, we urge the leaders of the country to act with more political responsibility by decisively committing to building a multi-ethnic, multi-confessional Bosnian state, one which upholds the rule of law. On this last point, my country shares the concerns of the High Representative, chiefly that nothing is possible without a shoring up of the rule of law, as well as the respect for state institutions and the decisions that these institutions hand down. Along these lines, we regret the defiance, the attitude of defiance which some individuals or groups have demonstrated with respect to the Bosnian state in violation of the Dayton agreements and the constitution of the country, regarding the legal and political decisions of central institutions in areas that are part of the state of Bosnia-Herzegovina's mandate. It is important that central state institutions responsible for upholding the rule of law, in particular the constitutional court, be respected and carried out. Along these lines, it is unfortunate that in spite of the ruling handed down by the court in 2011, the new electoral law has yet to be implemented, which has been an obstacle to the holding of elections in Mostar during the local elections, which took place on 7 October last. Moreover, we would call upon the BNH Parliamentary Assembly to swiftly adopt the constitutional amendments which would allow for non-constitutional communities to fully participate in the political life of the country. Furthermore, given the most complex institutional organization in the country, which can only hamper the smooth running of the country, we feel that there should be a relaunching of the debate on the streamlining and transparency of these institutions. And here, a happy medium should be found, one based on consensus, between those who believe in a decentralized state apparatus and those who would like to strengthen the central state. Regarding the 5+2 format for the closure of the Office of the High Representative, we regret that substantive progress has yet to be made over the reporting period. Nevertheless, we are pleased that the Office of the High Representative in Brčko put an end on 31 August 2012 to its mandate of supervision in the district. In line with recommendations of the 23 May 2012 recommendations for the Peace Agreement Implementation Council. We do also welcome the initial measures taken by BNH regarding the implementation of the political agreement of 9 March 2012 regarding the registration of military property as being assets of the state. We would call upon politicians in the country to continue their efforts to work in a constructive manner for the carrying out of this agreement without further delay. Given the significant challenges before the country, Togo thinks that the international presence in BNH should be maintained so as to help the country achieve lasting political agreement which can strengthen central institutions and guarantee peace in the country and the region. It is the responsibility of political leaders in BNH to take the initiative to live together. And this means that frank dialogue and compromise must be sought, as these are the only solutions can lead to a lasting and definitive settlement of disputes. Finally, I should like to conclude by reiterating my country's support to the efforts of the High Representative and civilian and military personnel working for the implementation of the Dayton Agreements and stability in the country. And now I once again take up my functions as the President of the Council, and I give the floor to the representative of Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, Mr. President, we are witnessing a complex political and economical situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina. I would like to express my sincere hope that this United Nations Security Council debate will facilitate a better understanding of the current state of affairs. Now, allow me to briefly present the view on the current situation along with the possible future developments. Mr. President, there are divergent opinions and analyses among the political actors, citizens, and civil society regarding the current developments in the country. Although we witnessed a certain stalemate in the political process, we do believe that additional efforts will be made in order to urgently find a way out of the current impasse. This is much needed and would certainly be beneficial for all of our citizens. This is finally something that everybody in Bosnia and Herzegovina expects from their political leaders and elected officials. Bosnia and Herzegovina does represent a positive example of the peace-building efforts of both international community as well as the national institutions. A stable peace has been established. The country has been functioning according to the constitutional grounds. Most refugees and displaced persons have recuperated their property and many have returned to their homes. 7 general parliamentary elections have been held, the last few of which were completely organized by local authorities. The defense sector and armed forces reform have been successfully implemented. Moreover, Mr. President, we are well aware of the fact that the basic prerequisites for the building a functional state and society rest on the national reconciliation, building of trust, and ending impunity for all crimes committed. This cannot be achieved without prosecuting all war criminals, regardless of their ethnicity. Even though the initial arrests of indicate war criminals were made by the international military forces, most of the others have been arrested and extradited to International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia in Den Haag by the local authorities. Aside from the good cooperation with ICTY, increasing numbers of war crimes trials are now proceeded in the national courts. Mr. President, we have to underline that overall security situation in the country has been calm and stable for years. As a result of apparent progress, NATO and European Union forces have both reduced the number of their troops on the ground, and having been the host country for the peacekeeping operation in the past, Bosnia and Herzegovina now become one of the troop contributing countries in the UN peacekeeping as well as within the NATO operation ISAF Afghanistan. Mr. President, I am confirmed that there is a genuine commitment of the Bosnia and Herzegovina on the European path, which remains foreign policy issue of highest priority. The political leaders continue the dialogue with the aim of finding solution for all open questions so that the stabilization and association agreement could come into the force, which in effect would enable Bosnia and Herzegovina to submit a credible application for the membership to the European Union. This process is not only a major political objective, but the best way to create a legislative and institutional environment that will meet standards for a better life of citizens, favorable condition for the development of our companies, and thus attracting foreign direct investment. Another foreign policy objective of high importance for Bosnia and Herzegovina is to work closely with and develop intensive and good bilateral relationship with all countries in the region, especially neighboring countries of Croatia, Serbia, and Montenegro. This commitment is evident from recent intensive political dialogue through bilateral meetings with Croatia, Serbia, and Montenegro on the most senior levels. One good example also is today's meeting in Ankara. Effective cooperation with the neighboring countries is especially important on the issue of transborder cooperation, combating organized crime, illegal trafficking, and smuggling, etc. I believe, Mr. President, that all our efforts will be reflected on the further enhancement of the relations and situation in both Bosnia and Herzegovina as well as in the whole region. It is a due time for all of us to turn to the joint future and European integrations, political and economical prosperity, stability, mutual respect of sovereignty, territorial integrity of our countries, and close friendly cooperation among all our people. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie la représentante de la Bosnie.
I should like to thank the representative of Bosnia-Herzegovina for that statement, and I now give the floor to Mr. Thomas Meyer-Harting, the head of the EU delegation to the United Nations. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I have the honor to speak on behalf of the European Union. The acceding country Croatia, the candidate countries Turkey, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Montenegro and Iceland, the country of the stabilization and association process, and potential candidate Albania, as well as Ukraine and the Republic of Moldova, align themselves with this statement. I join other speakers in welcoming the High Representative, my good friend Valentin Insko, back to the Council, and would like to assure him of our continued support. Mr. President, the lack of progress in implementing necessary political and economic reforms, the continued use of divisive rhetoric, and deeply rooted divisions among political parties continue to cause considerable headwind for the efforts of those who want to see Bosnia and Herzegovina as a united, stable, viable, multi-ethnic and prosperous state, cooperating peacefully with its neighbors and irreversibly on track towards European Union membership. We therefore encourage Council members to urge Bosnia and Herzegovina's political leadership to overcome the political stalemate and to undertake the reforms necessary to move the country forward in its European perspective. Mr. President, political deadlock in Bosnia and Herzegovina continues to burden the process of further stabilization and development. At the entity level, particularly in the Federation, the political climate remains tense and difficult. Several attempts at reshuffling the Federation government have failed due to political and constitutional challenges. Regrettably, this struggle for political control compromises the ability of local political parties to constructively engage in important reform agendas. Stakes were raised further when Federation President Budimir was apprehended at the end of April on charges of organized crime and corruption. There are only remote prospects for the resolution of this stalemate in the near future. Moreover, we have noted some important signs of premature pre-election positioning by the parties ahead of the October 2014 general elections. There is therefore a serious risk of a prolonged period marked by political deadlock in the Federation. This would further negatively affect an already serious economic situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina, a country which is already dependent on macrofinancial support by the International Monetary Fund and the European Union. In Republika Srpska, the government was reshuffled on 12 March in response to the results of municipal elections in October last year. The leadership in Banja Luka nonetheless continued to challenge the effectiveness and functionality of state structures as well as the international presence in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is unacceptable, complicates the political processes in the country, and makes it more difficult to establish sustained positive momentum. Difficulties at the entity level are translated into a weakened ability of the state-level institutions of Bosnia and Herzegovina to address, in particular, the fight against corruption and organized crime. They also complicate efforts to strengthen the judiciary and implement reforms in the area of defense, including the necessity to resolve the problem of unstable stockpiles of surplus arms and ammunition in the country. Mr. President, the European Union has been engaged for many years in efforts to anchor Bosnia and Herzegovina on its European Union path. We believe that it is critical that Bosnia and Herzegovina fulfills as a matter of priority its obligations under the Interim Stabilization and Association Agreement. If it fails to do so, the country will not be in a position to make progress on the path towards European integration, which its citizens rightly expect. In particular, Bosnia and Herzegovina needs to urgently bring its constitution in compliance with the European Convention of Human Rights and implement the European Court of Human Rights ruling in the Sejdić-Finci case. This ruling embodies the principle of ethnic non-discrimination, which is at the core of the values promoted both by the European Union and the United Nations. Implementation of this ruling will allow the European Union to decide on the entry into force of the Stabilization and Association Agreement with Bosnia and Herzegovina, paving the way for further steps forward, including a credible EU membership application. A new round of EU facilitation efforts in this regard started in early 2013 and was led by EU Special Representative and Head of Delegation Peter Sorensen and Commissioner Stefan Füle. Despite significant time, efforts and resources devoted by the European Union, political leaders in Bosnia and Herzegovina again failed to agree on a solution, leading to the cancellation of the meeting on 11th of April of the EU high-level dialogue. Both High Representative Catherine Ashton and Commissioner Stefan Füle have recently visited Bosnia and Herzegovina and have urged the leaders of the country to continue to seek compromise and move it forward on its European Union path, including by implementing the ruling of the European Court of Human Rights. By not bringing the constitution of Bosnia and Herzegovina in line with European standards, Bosnia and Herzegovina risks the legitimacy and credibility of its future leaders to be selected in the 2014 general elections. High Representative Catherine Ashton and Commissioner Stefan Füle also reaffirmed once again the commitment of the European Union to Bosnia and Herzegovina's European future. Recent progress towards the European Union by the rest of the region, and in particular the beginning of the normalization of relations between Serbia and Kosovo, as well as the upcoming accession of Croatia to the European Union, should help encourage progress in Bosnia and Herzegovina as well. Mr. President, since September 2011, the European Union has strengthened its political presence in Bosnia and Herzegovina in order to facilitate progress towards European integration. The single European Union presence on the ground, with a single EU Special Representative and Head of Delegation, is fully engaged in supporting Bosnia and Herzegovina in all European Union-related matters. The European Union increased its regional presence in 2012 with new offices in Mostar and Brčko and a larger office in Banja Luka. The European Union Special Representative and Head of Delegation is also offering the EU Force Commander political guidance on military issues with a local political dimension, in particular concerning sensitive operations, relations with local authorities, and with the local media. The European Union also continues to accompany Bosnia and Herzegovina's progress in the security field. The overall security situation has remained calm and stable, and Bosnia and Herzegovina authorities have so far proven capable of dealing with threats to the security environment. The European Union will therefore keep EUFOR Altea focused on capacity building and training. However, EUFOR Altea will retain an executive military role to support Bosnia and Herzegovina's efforts to maintain a safe and secure environment under a UN mandate. It therefore remains able to contribute to the Bosnia and Herzegovina authorities' deterrence capacity if the situation so requires. The European Union will also continue to provide considerable pre-accession assistance. In the context of the overall European Union strategy for Bosnia and Herzegovina, we look forward to continuing the discussion with the international community on the reconfiguration of the international presence in the appropriate forum. We call on the authorities in Bosnia and Herzegovina to meet the outstanding objectives and conditions for the closure of the Office of the High Representative. Mr. President, in coming to my conclusion, I would like to say that the European Union reiterates its unequivocal commitment to the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina as a sovereign and united country. We may remain ready to provide the necessary assistance to support progress towards Bosnia and Herzegovina's European integration. It is this approach that will take the country forward on its reform agenda towards stability and development on its path to the European Union. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie son excellence.
I should like to thank His Excellency, Mr. Meyer Harting, for that statement. And I now give the floor to the representative of Croatia.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. At the outset, please allow me to extend my sincere congratulations to Your Excellency on the occasion of assuming the presidency of Security Council for the month of May. Let me also extend my welcome to His Excellency Mr. Valentin Inzko, the High Representative, and thank him for his briefing and his report. Croatia also, as you heard, aligns itself with the statement of the European Union. Mr. President, stability and prosperity of Bosnia and Herzegovina is crucial for stability of the whole region of Southeast Europe. Croatia therefore wholeheartedly supports the development of Bosnia and Herzegovina as a fully functional state for the benefit of all its citizens and strongly supports the prospect of the country's full membership in the NATO and the European Union. However, we note with regret that despite some positive developments in the rest of the region, such as the agreement between Belgrade and Pristina, and the Montenegro's progress in the Euro-Atlantic integration processes, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, progress has stalled in almost all areas, including the EU agenda. Since High Representative's previous report in November last year, there has been no significant progress in strengthening of institutions, constitutional framework, or the implementation of the necessary reforms. Bosnia and Herzegovina is at the crossroads. On one hand, there is the Dayton Agreement, and on the other, the ruling of the European Court of Human Rights in the Sejdić-Finci case. We believe that the democratic equality of all citizens and institutional equality of the three constitutional peoples are both crucial for the viability and stability of Bosnia and Herzegovina. In our view, political and national representation should not result in any form of ethnic majorization, but in a balance of individual and collective rights. We would also like to reiterate once again Croatia's strong support for sovereignty and territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Mr. President, we sincerely hope that political dialogue and readiness for compromise will yield concrete results and allow for the entry into force of the Stabilization and Association Agreement between Bosnia and Herzegovina and the European Union, which would mark an important step forward in the process of European integration and would offer Bosnia and Herzegovina an additional tool for the acceleration of reform processes. We hope that political elites will manage to reach an agreement which will show that they put the interests of the country and all its citizens above the interests of their parties. Furthermore, for Croatia as a neighboring country, the progress of Bosnia and Herzegovina on the path towards NATO is of vital importance. Therefore, we call on political leaders in the country to make additional efforts in the implementation of the political agreement reached by the six political parties regarding the resolution of the outstanding issue of military property in order to enable the implementation of the first round of the action plan for the NATO membership. In the meantime, the existing cooperation between Bosnia and Herzegovina and NATO should be maintained and enhanced. The principle of early fulfillment of conditionality, even before the process of institutional negotiations, might not be at all times fully applicable to Bosnia and Herzegovina. We support an approach which would take into consideration a still existing need for a build-up of necessary decision-making capacities in Bosnia and Herzegovina, taking into account its distinct complexities. Croatia has been and will continue to be ready to provide all possible assistance to Bosnia and Herzegovina on its Euro-Atlantic path. Part of these efforts is the preparation of the agreement on Euro-Atlantic partnership between Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, as well as talks regarding the economic and other impacts of Croatia's EU membership as of July 1st this year. Mr. President, let me conclude by stating that the future of Bosnia and Herzegovina is first and foremost the responsibility of its people. But at the same time, the international community needs to bear its part of responsibility with an active and sustainable engagement which remains vital for the progress and prosperity of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I thank you.
Je remercie.
I should like to thank the representative of Croatia for that statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Serbia.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. At the outset, I would like to welcome His Excellency Mr. Valentin Insko, the High Representative for the implementation of the peace agreement on Bosnia and Herzegovina, and to thank him for his report to the Council. My country has stable relations with Bosnia and Herzegovina, and it fully respects the Dayton Peace Agreement as the basis of stability of that country and the region of the Western Balkans. We are committed to the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Bosnia and Herzegovina and believe that its future should be decided by its people and political leaders without outside interference. To that end, we shall support any agreement accepted by the two entities and three constitutive peoples of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Serbia considers Bosnia and Herzegovina to be one of its closest partners and has a very strong interest in promoting mutual relations to the highest possible level. We are committed to developing these relations on the basis of good neighborliness and shall work on their promotion at the central level, as well as on the expansion and intensification of cooperation with the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the further deepening and enrichment of special relations with the Republic of Srpska. Since the formation of new governments in our two countries in 2012, the cooperation, both bilateral and in regional organizations, has been considerably promoted, yielding concrete results, which made it one of the most dynamic periods of two countries' cooperation. Serbia is a staunch advocate of Bosnia and Herzegovina's European integration and the strengthening of mutual cooperation in this process, particularly with respect to the exchange of experiences, administrative capacity building and concrete agreements on joint approaches and the ways of using the available EU funds. We have noticed that the High Representative has devoted a significant segment of his report to the status and the functioning of the institutions in the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Republic of Srpska. We hope that the internal obstacles will be overcome and an internal agreement conducive to the continuation of Bosnia and Herzegovina's European integration reached as soon as possible. Serbia is ready to address all outstanding issues with Bosnia and Herzegovina, significantly reduced in number now, in good faith and in mutual interest. We particularly welcome the concerted position on the need to have direct contacts and exchanges of views without outside mediation. Serbia is committed to the stability and overall development of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and for its part has made a number of important steps towards regional reconciliation. In March 2010, the National Assembly of the Republic of Serbia adopted the Declaration on Srebrenica, and in an interview to Bosnia and Herzegovina television in April of this year, President Nikolic apologized for all crimes committed in Serbia's name and announced his visit to Srebrenica to pay his respect to the victims. In this regard, Serbia firmly believes that in the process of genuine reconciliation, all perpetrators of crimes must be punished, irrespective of which ethnic community they belong to. We deem the completion of the process of refugee returns, as well as a more efficient implementation, devoid of red tape and additional requests, of the regional housing program for the solution of the housing problems of the most vulnerable refugees in the region, particularly important. My country views the intensive regional cooperation and the politically and economically stable region of Southeast Europe as one of the basic preconditions for its sustainable development. We are committed to the strengthening of regional cooperation and welcome the successful cooperation with Bosnia and Herzegovina realized within the Southeast European Cooperation Process, Regional Cooperation Council, Central European Free Trade Agreement, currently presided by Bosnia and Herzegovina, Central European Initiative, Adriatic Ionian Initiative, and in other fora. Thank you, Mr. President.
I
thank the representative of Serbia for that statement. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers. The Security Council has thus concluded the present stage of its consideration of the item on its agenda. The meeting is adjourned.